Surprise, I'm down here. Where is he? Hi, everyone. If we have not met yet, my name's Greg, and I would love to meet you. We are going to do things a little differently today, so that's just a heads up. But first, I just want to make sure that all the kids have one of these quiz sheets. If you do not have one, raise your hand, because we'll get you one. Because what this does is if you fill this out after the service, take a look. Leo, why don't you stand up? Go see Leo, this guy that looks like Jesus right there. And he's got a coupon for you because an ice cream truck is coming right after church. Mom and Dad, sorry. And just to clarify, it's for the children, not the children at heart, because I know that would be all of us. But go see Uncle Leo over there. He'll give you a coupon, and then he'll lead you to the ice cream truck. So there you go. Now, if you are like me, who is an introvert, this may be a little awkward for you, but we just, you'll do fine. Here's what we're going to do. I'm actually going to tell you a story, but you'll want to pay attention because as soon as I finish, you are going to share the story with the person next to you. What? I don't know that person. That's okay. That's how you meet. You're going to share the story with the person next to you. After that, I'm going to tell the story again, but I just may tell it incorrectly at times, and at that point, you have a job to do. You have to say very passionately, because this matters, no, no, no. Okay, let's practice that, right?
No, no, no.
Good, and then you can correct me, and then we'll get it done. And then from there, I'm going to ask you some questions about this story, see if this story comes alive. All right? So just to make sure, you know, turn to the person next to you and say, hey, I'm going to tell you a story. And if there's no person next to you, look for someone. You may have to, move or shuffle a little bit. All right, you up for this? Some of you are thinking, man, why did I come to church today? But when we're done, you're going to be like, oh, I am so glad we came. All right, here's a story. Pay attention because you have to tell it. On the day of Pentecost, which is 50 days after Passover, all the believers are meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven. It was like the roaring of a mighty windstorm. And it came and filled the room where they were sitting. And the Holy Spirit came, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages just as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Now, at this time, there were many devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the sound, they came running and they were amazed. They were baffled. And they asked, how is it that we are hearing our own languages? These are Galileans. Yet here we are, people from countries near and far, and we're hearing God's wonderful things that God has done told in our native language. They stood there, amazed and perplexed. And they were asking each other, what can this mean? What can this mean? What can this mean? But there were some in the crowd who ridiculed them, and they shouted out, they're just drunk, that's all. Okay, there's a story. It's from Acts chapter 2. Okay, I want you, as best you can, turn to the person next to you, and only one of you is going to get to share. So if one of you is like, oh, I'll do it, no problem, then you get to do it. If you both are like, then the person whose birthday is nearest to today, you get to do it. All right? Go. All right, how are we doing? I heard a few people go whoosh. I like that. That's my favorite part of the story. Hey, by the way, before I continue, these guys just caught my eye. Did you know that Philip and Karen here, they just got married recently? Can we celebrate? Yeah. So be sure to give them a hug, or, you know, find out how you can pray for them, encourage them, invite them over for dinner, you know, all that kind of stuff. All right. So how did the person telling the story do?
Good.
Yeah? All right. They were either courageous enough to do it or unlucky enough to have their birthday nearest to today. So either way, you did it. All right. Now I'm going to tell the story again. And if it's incorrect, you have to correct me. What do you say?
No.
Yeah. No, no, no. And then you have to correct me. Okay, here we go. So, on the day of Pentecost, which is 35 days after... How long? 50 days after Pentecost, all the believers were meeting... Nice. You guys, 50 days after Passover, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a noise from heaven.
No.
What's wrong? Well, that was the noise. Swish. Suddenly, Chris Chung took a basketball shot and swish. Okay. Suddenly, there was a loud sound from heaven. And it sounded like the roaring of a mighty windstorm. And it came and filled the entire place where they were sitting. Everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began shouting, "Let's go, Mets! Let's go, Mets!" What's wrong with that? That's what the Mets need, let me tell you that. All right, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and everyone began speaking in other languages. Right, some translations, you know, speaking in tongues, speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Now, there were devout Jews from every nation at that time living in Jerusalem, and they came running, and they... What's my... Yeah. Okay. So they came running. They heard the sound. They came running, and they asked, you know, how can this be that these people are all from Galilee here? But we hear them speaking in our own languages. Here we are, people from many nations here, near and far, yet we hear our own languages. They're sharing about the wonderful things God has done. They stood there amazed and perplexed, and they asked each other, "Yo, what's up? How you doing?" What did they ask?
Yes, are you drunk?
Not yet. What can this mean? What can this mean? Right? What can this mean? But there were some in the crowd that ridiculed them, that said, "They're just drunk, that's all." Okay, so I got some questions for you. Here's the first one up here on the screen. What do you like about the story? What do you like about the story? The sound effects. You like the sound effects. Okay. What do you like about the story? Go ahead.
The appearance of the Holy Spirit.
The appearance of the Holy Spirit. That's a big deal. Did I see your hand up? What'd you like? You gonna say the same thing? All right, the Holy Spirit, buddy, right here. Holy Spirit. What else do you like about the story? Say it again. Okay, it's the birth of the massive spread of Christianity. Now, historically, that's true, and we find out more from as we continue. That's not in that story. So kind of keep it what you've heard. What do you like from that story? Go ahead.
The miracle of them speaking in different languages.
It's a miracle. They're speaking in different languages. People, right? There's Jews from all around the world, and all of them are understanding. So another hand over here.
It's realistic.
It's realistic. Tell me more. How so?
Because the reaction of the people was, they must be drunk.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's realistic, right? Because the reaction of the people is that these people are just crazy, right? They must be drunk. Go ahead.
Well, because they understood each other, it brought the community closer
together. Wow, that's good. Because they understood one another, brought the community closer together. Okay. Anything else? All right. A little different. What don't you like about the story? What do you not like about the story?
Go ahead. Some people ridiculed them.
Some people ridiculed them. Yeah, that's not nice, right? Good. What else? Do I see your hand there? What do you got? They were calling them a bunch of drunks, right? But they weren't drunk. Well, we find out later that they were not. So yeah, good job. What else? What don't you like about the story? Let's try the next question. If you were in the story, would you rather be the ones being filled with the Spirit or the ones witnessing a miracle? And then tell me why. All right. I'm seeing some of the same hands here.
Yeah.
Let's somebody else participate. If you could have been there, which group would you want to be? The ones being filled or the ones witnessing the miracle? Gail wants to be one of the ones being filled. How come? Just to experience that gift of the Holy Spirit. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. What else? All right, I got you. Go ahead. The same. Okay, good. You guys, good things. How about you?
I would be filled with the Holy Spirit.
How come?
Because I would want to be with God.
That's great. She would want to be the ones being filled with the Spirit because God is with her, living inside of her. Somebody else. Go ahead. Back there. Yep. And again, that's, we find that out later, that the promise of the Holy Spirit, which includes us, we will be good to receive that. Carol, I think I saw your hand.
She would want to be filled to receive power to be a witness.
She would want to be filled to have that power to be a witness. LaDon wants to be filled so that she has the ability to communicate with someone about Jesus that she couldn't otherwise do. Okay. All right, next question. What is a truth or a lesson that you could share with someone based on what you've experienced in this story? And this is from Acts chapter 2. What's a truth or a lesson you could share with someone? God brings people closer together and closer to Him. It's awesome. What else? Okay.
It's not of your own abilities that you have become a witness. It is the power of God.
It's not of your own ability to be a witness. It's from the power of God. I don't know about you, but that encourages me. Because right? It's not about me. It's not about you. But it's about God filling us, controlling us, and then us trusting that He will. I saw another hand, I thought, over here.
As far as how you receive the Holy Spirit, how they can also do it.
Okay, so being able to help someone know how they can receive the Holy Spirit. We go.
Prophetically, God has spoken His word, and He fulfilled it, so that was
so just the fact, God is faithful, right? It was prophesied that this would happen, and he fulfilled it. Anything else, Mark?
Scripture tells us that Mary was in the upper room, and she was married, was very
So, and you were there, weren't you, in the upper room? Mark was saying that that we know Mary was filled with the Holy Spirit because she was in the upper room. All right, last question. What is the truth or lesson you could apply? This is a little more personal. What's something that you could apply? I'm going to hold off. I'm going to get some other people involved. You get two ice creams, though. Right there, right there. Go ahead. Ooh. Being ridiculed is just a natural byproduct of spreading truth, so we shouldn't be surprised. That's powerful. That's good. What else? A lesson or truth that you can apply. We can do all things through Christ. It's awesome. All right, go for it.
I want to say that if you hold back from God, then you won't be able to experience the greatness that He provides. He's giving it to you, but if you just hold back, you won't experience it. But if you actually believe in Him, the people who got together, they actually experienced God.
All right, so correct me if I'm wrong. If I can repeat that. Basically, that we need to be available. Don't hold back. When God gives us the opportunity, we need to step out in faith. Is that close enough? All right, good. Go ahead.
That we can all, absolutely all, be healed by the Holy Spirit and receive it.
Yeah, this, Alma said, yeah, the gift of the Holy Spirit is for all of us. We can all receive that. And that's not, if you just go to church and say, well, I'm not spiritual enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not faithful enough. That's not true. The question is, do you know Jesus? If you know Jesus, He's promised to fill you with the Holy Spirit. And then you're going to say something, Paul.
Faithfulness of His promise. Yeah, Jesus promised.
Yeah, getting the fulfillment, the promise. Okay, so that's kind of the foundation. Now let's just look at how this story impacted the church. All right, so we have somebody stands up and shouts, they're just drunk, that's all. There's nothing special going on here, right? Look away, it's no big deal. Well, what happens is Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, what do we know about Peter? What did he do just prior to this? He denied knowing Jesus. But now, God's Spirit has filled him. He stands up and he says, hey, these folks aren't drunk. It's only, what time?
9 o'clock.
9 in the morning. That's a good book, by the way. 9 in the morning. These people aren't drunk. It's only 9 in the morning. And basically, and some folks referenced this before, he's saying, this is the fulfillment of the prophet Joel. Joel said there's going to be a day when God's Spirit comes. And so that day is here. It is now. And he tells them about Jesus. He reminds them who Jesus is, what he's done, and then how they can respond. And here's from verses 40 and 41. He says, with many other words, Peter warned them, and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. So here's a question. This is a rhetorical question right now. Did it make a difference? Did the coming of the Spirit, did the mass repentance of the community make a difference in the community, in their lives, in their families? Let's take a look at the next verses. Verse 42 up here on the screen. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed before or by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Okay, just kind of look at that again. All right, these are some of the responses. All right, they devoted themselves to teaching. They devoted themselves to fellowship. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. They devoted themselves to prayer. All right, everyone was filled with awe. at the many wonders and signs being performed. All right, next verse. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And then my favorite verse. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So did it make a difference? So what are some things that you saw from that text, right? We heard the story of the coming of the Holy Spirit. People were like, yeah, these are a bunch of drunks. Peter says, no. No, they're not drunk. This is a fulfillment of prophecy, and you can be a part of this too. God's Spirit is here. He invites you to come, give your life to Jesus. And 3,000 were baptized. And then, kind of as the days go on, these amazing things are happening. They're devoting. Well, what are some of the things they devoted themselves to? Prayer. What else? Breaking of bread. Fellowship. Yeah, and teaching, right? And teaching. And where were they doing these things? There's kind of two places that are mentioned. What was that? The temple, or like kind of the church for us. So they gathered together, and then house to house. So they did it as a big group, and they did it as small groups. So I just want you to think here. Let's kind of put yourself in the story. If you're in this community, describe the environment. What are you seeing? What are you experiencing? What are some stories that you're hearing? Right, you can have to just use your imagination a little bit. All right, you're there. The Holy Spirit has come. We see the evidence and how the community is together. What are some things you're hearing, that you're seeing, that you're feeling?
Awestruck.
Like, I totally agree. Like, what comes to mind? Like, what makes you say that? Just blown away.
Yeah. What's going on?
Yeah. Just totally blown away. What else?
Excitement.
There's a sense of excitement. Can you imagine that? Like, waking up, like, I wonder what's going to happen today. Like, I can't wait to get up. I can't wait to go to work or to go to school or to, you know, hang out. I can't wait to see what God's going to do. What else?
Fulfillment.
Fulfillment? How so?
Well, the Spirit's fulfilling, you know, everything mm-hmm. that
basically,
everything that you need.
Yeah, so... So you have this fulfillment. Not only has the Spirit filled you, but you're experiencing really everything that God designed you and me to do, to feel, to experience.
What is interesting to me the most is how they behave as one unit. Yeah. So there is a unity, one in one accord, and it's not only physically as they're sharing bread, but it's spiritually on prayer.
If you didn't hear that, there's a sense of unity. There's everyone's functioning in one accord. They're, you know, they're sharing, they're caring. Let me ask you this: even in that environment, do you think there were disagreements?
Yes, of course.
Of course. But you probably had a lot of passive aggressive behavior there, right? That's where we learned it, right? Just avoid it. Pretend like nothing's happening. Like, how do you think conflict was solved in a community like this, in an environment like this? So the elders, the leaders of the community, just wisdom. What else?
Praying.
They were willing to share their possessions, sell, distribute to
people. They're very giving. They're willing to share their possessions, which probably they're just humble, right? If I know I offended you, if I'm filled with the Spirit and I discover that I've offended you, I'm not going to say, you know, get thicker skin, toughen up, welcome to life. I'm going to humble myself and say, hey, Either this wasn't my intention, I totally apologize, or you know what? It was my intention and I was wrong. You know, will you forgive me? Right, there's this sense of, I want to say hope. All right, bigger question. Could this, and why this, I'm talking about what we just saw in those verses, verses 42 to 47, this community, this sharing, this caring, this devotion to one another, to prayer, to teaching, to fellowship, breaking of bread. Could this happen today? You think so? All right, if so, what could that be like? What's that?
Like us?
What do you mean? What do you mean by that? You both thought the same thing. What, unpack that. What does that mean? And if you are new to our church, Alma just mentioned she's been here from the beginning. Our church, Shelter Rock Church, we used to have a different name. So if you go way back there, our church is like 80 years old. Shelter Rock Church now has three locations. Manhasset, which is that original location. Syosset started, I'm guessing maybe 10 to 15 years ago, somewhere in there. And then this Westbury location, or I should say this Westbury community, because we are the church wherever we meet. Good reminder. We in the fall will be 2 years old, and so Alma was saying, you know, she's seen this spirit of giving, of caring, of being humble before one another. I think this is a no-brainer, but I just got to ask, if this could happen again, would you want to participate? That's a fair question. That is a fair question. Which is why sometimes when I used to read where Jesus walked up to the blind man and asked, do you want to be healed? Well, he's like, duh, of course. But that was, Jesus knew what he was doing, because that man was getting income by his begging. Maybe he wanted to see, but was he willing to give that up? Was he willing to kind of start a new life? And so I think it's fair to ask, would you really want to participate? Would you want to share? Would you want to care? I know we would all want to receive, but would you want to open your home? Would you want to roll up your sleeves? That's a fair question. So, rhetorical question. Are you willing? And then final question, you can answer this. If you're in, when do we start?
Right now.
Right now? Yes. You ready to go? Let me show you, I'm going to close in prayer here, but I want to invite you to on a journey. There's this book that I read that I would love, I'm going to invite all of us to read it this summer. We're going to have a summer book club. Sean, go ahead and put that up there. It's a book called Dirty Glory. Go where your best prayers take you. We're going to have a summer book club, and we've got to work out the dates, but basically every 2 weeks or so, we're going to get together. I planned to be at my house, but we've learned that in the summer, it's very difficult to have a lot of people in my house, because our air conditioning is only so effective. So we'll probably have it somewhere where the air conditioning is more solid, maybe one of the campuses. But we're going to meet and discuss it over the summer. And then in September, we're going to do a little prayer emphasis. Now, my desire is that we would spend a week of prayer, 24 hours, a week of prayer. Now, you're not praying every minute, but we'll sign up for different slots and pray 24 hours. Now, I just want to warn you, the author of this book he was a pastor, and he did this with his church. And I think they were going to do it for like a month, maybe 2 weeks, I can't remember. He did it for 2 weeks, and then a month, and it's 16 years later. It's 16 years later, so they're still doing that. So just, you know, be careful. Who knows? God may be doing something here. But I invite you to be part of this journey. Pick up this book. I made it easy for you. They're available in the lobby. Cost $10. For those of you who hate to read, there is an audio version. You can listen to it. I don't have that. You just have to order it yourself, you know, Amazon or wherever. $10. I know for some of you, that's a bit of a stretch. If you need help, then contribute whatever you can. $1, $2, $3. For those of you, it's no big deal. You can contribute over if you want to help defray those costs. But I encourage you to pick it up today and just start reading. Next week, we'll have dates of when we're going to meet. If you don't have the cash today, take the book. You can bring it next week. If you're writing checks, just Shelter Rock Church or Greg Farah College Fund for his daughters. No, Shelter Rock Church. You're invited. This summer, let's pray. God, thank you for being a God who has done the miraculous, will continue to do so, and invites us to be a part of it. You are a God that doesn't want us just to sit back and watch. You want us to roll up our sleeves and have an active faith. You want us to dare to believe that you will fill us, that you will control us. I know you're just waiting for us to take steps of faith. God, may we be a church that trusts you. May we be a church that boldly follows you, that steps out and is willing to do whatever it takes. Thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name.